You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The New Zealand Education Institute has stated that partnership schools are a failed experiment from overseas. If you look at the most rigorous and robust evidence on their success or failure overseas, you find the opposite is true. I would recommend they look at Stanford University's Centre for Research on Educational Development, Credo they call it. That is an organisation that has done very sophisticated statistical analysis of the performance of students in charter schools in the US versus students who have all the same characteristics that go to the state school. They call it virtual twinning. And they find, time after time, that students in charter schools in the US are learning faster. So what a kid in a state school might learn in a year, a kid in a partnership school learns in maybe 10 months. And that is, you know, the most robust statistical proof that there is out there. You can look at other countries that have charter schools. The Canadian province of Alberta has them. Again, the C.D. Howe Institute has done a robust analysis of students and charters adjusting for student characteristics, and they find that students perform more highly in charter schools. In Sweden, there's a bit more debate, but the most rigorous academic studies find that students in charter schools in Sweden learn slightly faster than students in other schools. So for someone to say it's a failed experiment overseas, they are not taking the academic evidence seriously. They either don't know about it or are not prepared to be honest when they debate.
Now, the Credo research report, we're talking about the 2015 Credo report from Stanford University, correct?
Well, they do them almost every year.
But the one that was linked to in the ACT Party press release this morning was the 2015 report, I believe.
I think we linked to two. One was from 2015, which was for urban schools.
Yes.
The other one was from 2013, which was a study of partnership schools across 26 different
now,
states.
Now, it's my understanding that the 2015 report is the first one to show a significant difference between the charter schools and the public schools. So it's agreeing with what you're saying in that sense. But there have been a couple of critiques of the study I thought I'd ask you about. And this is from Andrea Gabor, and her comment is that they exclude public schools that don't send students to charters, introducing a bias against the top performing public schools. And the other aspect of this is that, as you said, it's an urban study. So in a New Zealand context, would that application apply, do you think? Or would we be looking at, is this just something we're looking at for urban centres? Or if we're looking at this in a national rollout, would this still apply?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, there's always debate within academia about methodologies, but most people accept that the Stanford methodology is the most comprehensive and sophisticated for comparing performance. The second thing I'd say is that you've got to remember that the context here, that in the US, urban is basically, I guess, a euphemism for poor inner-city neighbourhoods. That's what they're really trying to say. What they're studying is the effect of partnership schools on kids in the poorest neighbourhoods, and that's exactly what we've tried to target in New Zealand, kids who basically haven't had a lot of opportunity, kids that are disadvantaged, kids that form the previous government and technically still the current government's priority groups.
The kids that have been measured in these studies have been based on standard testing across maths and reading performance tests, standard grading. There's been a lot of debate in New Zealand recently, especially coming into the last election, over whether we need to remove national standards or we need to redesign them or need to strengthen them. So if these studies are based on national standards, firstly from another state, how do we then take that and apply it to New Zealand, especially with that debate over national standards? If we were to continue charter schools, does that mean we would absolutely need to end the national standards debate? Or is there a compromise somewhere in the middle?
Well, I mean, you're getting into a whole new area, which is, you know, the debate about how we measure success in education. I'm not sure what the answer to that debate is. What I do know is that we've taken the measures that were currently accepted and proven that partnership schools are superior. That's why it's wrong for the education unions to say that partnership schools are somehow a failed experiment. They haven't failed. They've succeeded by the measures that we have. Should we have other measures of school success? Very possibly. Will we end up with other measures if national standards are scrapped? Probably not. because the basic tests that kids are sitting will probably remain the same. What will change with national standards is the requirement with regard to how teachers report them to their students. Teachers report them to their parents, and that's, you know, that's fine. But at the end of the day, you're still going to want to know, for all the time this kid's spent at school, can they read and can they add up? Because at the end of the day, if you can't do those two things, then the future is very bleak and very frustrating.
So Paul Goulter, the National Secretary for the NZEI, has said that it's a good thing that we're bringing these charter schools back under the national umbrella, under the state umbrella, because, quote, kids do better in the mainstream. I just wanted to see what your thoughts about that were.
Well, again, you know, it's difficult to understand where Mr. Goulter gets his ideas or evidence from. To the extent we can measure it, bearing in mind that in New Zealand we've had, you know, only 4 charter schools that have been operating for more than 3 years, it would appear that actually kids are doing better at charters. Now, there's no really robust study of that, unfortunately. It's hard to do, especially with small numbers of students, to get a statistically valid sample. But if you look at the headline results for the schools, and you take not the people who leave, not the people who sit the test, but you just say, for the kids in any given year, how many of them passed their year level, NCA level 1, 2 or 3, or how many are at standard under national standards, they appear to be doing better, despite the fact that many of the kids going to partnership schools previously weren't even attending school.
So I suppose the message of that is, from your perspective, if you don't think there is the research or the backing behind it or the empirical evidence, people shouldn't be making claims like this to say that it is a failed experiment.
Yeah, look, I think it's unfortunate for New Zealand as a country that one of the supposed leaders of one of the most important professions, that is the leader of a teacher union, goes out into the press and makes claims that simply cannot be substantiated by the evidence. And anybody with access to a website called www.google.com can see that he's wrong.
Okay, so let's move on because we're running short on time. I wanted to ask you about the 90-day trials, which is something you've been talking a little bit about recently. And you're upset that the government is wanting to wind that back, correct?
Yeah, I am.
I'm just going to direct you to a press release from the ACT Party, which was put out on the 28th of January. And in this press release, you say the government has confirmed it's going to gut a policy that has led to 10% increase in hiring in the construction industry. Then you say this is despite the fact that Mortu's research found a 10.3% increase in hiring. So you're saying that the 90-day trial has led to a 10% increase in hiring based on Mortu's research?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they found. They found that there wasn't a lot of difference across the whole industry, but the one area where it did appear to improve people's chances of getting a job was the construction industry.
I had a look at that report, and I sort of interpreted it a little bit differently, and I got in touch with Isabel Sin, who is the lead researcher on that, and I wanted to give you a chance to respond to her response to your press release. And she said she's happy to go on the record saying, I'm reading this directly verbatim from her email here, saying that the media release takes out of context the one aspect of my research that potentially supports the story they want to tell. It ignores the primary findings that the policy seems to have the near zero effect on hiring or employee retention, either positive or negative. And the caveats around the result they cite, it is only weakly significant in a statistical sense, meaning the true effect in the industry could well be zero. So that 10.3% that you've quoted in the press release seems to not be accurate to the report.
Well, let me translate that for you. What they found is a weakly significant result that the 90-day trial has increased hiring in the construction industry. And the claim we're making is that if you ignore that and you get rid of 90-day trials, you risk reducing the number of people in the construction industry, and that in the context of a housing shortage that has robbed a generation of places to live is a very silly thing to do.
But in the sense of this interview and calling people out for misappropriating information or making claims without full information, do you want to retract that statement and say that there has been a 10.3 increase in the construction hiring rate because of the 90-day trial when the researchers who conducted that are saying that is not what they're saying?
Well, they've said it's exactly what they're saying.
Well, they're saying that 10.3% is statistically irrelevant.
Don't talk over me. Do not talk over me. What they've said is that it's weakly statistically significant.
So then, for the ACT Party to release the press release saying that despite the fact that Motto's research found a 10.3 increase in hiring in the construction and wholesale trade industries as a result of the policy, Motto isn't saying that that has occurred as a result of the policy. They're saying there's a weak significant correlation when in actuality, the real life effect might be zero. So then to say that there has been a 10.3% increase in hiring because of the policy seems to really be stretching those numbers a little bit.
Oh, I don't think so at all. What it says is that there's a strong chance that the policy has led to increase in employment in construction, and we've seized upon that. Now, of course, she as an academic is going to say, well, yeah, of course, statistical significance being what it is, it's possible that it wasn't. But the fact of the matter is that what the research tells us is that odds on, actually, we have increased employment in the construction industry through this policy. So, you know, you're now reduced to arguing. Here's your argument.
I just wanted to know if you wanted to change what you are saying based on that information.
Hang on a second. What happened to no interruption?
Yeah, you go ahead.
All right. So what you're trying to tell me is that going out into the public and saying that a policy has been a failed experiment when actually the indication is the opposite is somehow equivalent to taking research that says that there is a weakly significant indication that a policy works when actually it may not have if you go through all your statistics. So the difference is between taking something that is probable and using that evidence and saying something that is completely opposite to the truth. So, I mean, it's a nice attempt at gotcha interviewing.
That's all right. If I could just correct your interpretation of what I'm trying to say there, all I'm trying to suggest is that there is a similarity, as you're saying, between taking There is a similarity, in my mind at least, you might perceive it differently, that's fine. There is a similarity in taking weak or a lack of statistical evidence and making a claim in the public eye, which is what you have said has happened with charter schools, and then going and manipulating data and presenting it in such a way to support your story, which is completely at odds with the producers of the work itself, who are then coming out and saying that that work has been misappropriated and used to fuel a narrative. Look, I think we're not going to agree on this, so we might leave it there. I'll give you any final statements if you like.
You've got it completely wrong.
Well, that's all I'm trying to say. That was just me trying to correct myself.
You think you've made yourself worse. What we have done is taken the probable indication of a study with respect to employment and construction.
With respect to your interpretation of it.
Hang on a second. What we've done is we've taken an indication from a study and said, this is what it means. What they've done is taken the complete opposite of what a study says and claimed something that is patently untrue.
Okay.
I know BFM loves to be clever and do this.
Well, I hear what you're saying.
Gotcha interview.
But now that you know that the researchers are saying that's not what it means, do you want to correct yourself? Because you don't want to be relying on incorrect or statistically irrelevant information.
That's not what the quote was at all. The quote was that it's weakly significant.
Meaning the true effect in the industry could well be zero. I'm happy to go on the record saying the media takes the context out of one aspect of my research that potentially supports the story they want to tell. It ignores the primary findings. I think we might leave it there. We've run out of time.
Hang on a minute, mate. We acknowledge the primary findings.
The primary findings that there was no statistical difference between having the 90-day or not the 90-day trial.
Across all sectors. But within the sector that we cited, they found that there was a probability that actually employment had been increased. Now, I don't know how many ways I can put you.
That's fair enough. I don't know how many ways we can put it either. I think we might wrap it up there, though. I thank you for your time, David.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.